السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله. When we look at this idea of discussion and debate, and when we call other people to the way of guidance, when we call people to Islam, when we call people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should pause and ask ourselves a basic question, which is, why? Right? And before we look at, as the next speakers will, on the etiquette of debate in Islam and how you go about discussing with the proper ethics and differing with the right ethics of Islam, I just wanted to touch upon two points, two very important issues that we don't really touch upon when we look at how we discourse with others, whether this discourse is within the Muslim community or it is with others of other faiths or other understandings and in society at large. And these two issues are two very basic questions. And these are why we discuss and debate with other people, and how we go about doing that. Especially, what is the underlying impulse of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Nahl, in the 16th Surah of the Qur'an, in verse 125, a verse that a lot of us have heard of, but most of us don't reflect enough on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Ud'u ila sabili rabbik," call to the way of your Lord, "bil hikmati وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and good admonition, with good words. And argue with them in the ways that are best. And argue with them in the ways that are best. What does this mean? If we just pause and consider the first expression, right? That when we do something, when we're calling other people, we sit down with someone and we want to discuss a matter. Or we disagree with someone and we want to deal with the point of disagreement. What are we trying to do? What are we trying to do? Let's say there's a difference of opinion within the MSA about something or the other. Some people want to give the khutbah in Arabic and it should be preceded with a talk. Other people say absolutely not. There's a difference of opinion. How do you deal with it? Right? And you discuss the matter with someone and you feel passionately about it. What is the underlying impulse? Or when you sit down with someone and you're trying to present Islam to them, they have questions about the faith and you want to present Islam to them. Or you're involved in Islam Awareness Week on campus and you're standing there at the MSA table. Right? Some of you like calling it a da'wah table, but the MSA table, right? Because usually there's not much da'wah and it's mainly just an MSA event. When you're standing at the da'wah table, what is the impulse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, "Udru ila sabili rabbik," call to the way of your Lord. And what are we trying to do in our discourse with other people? We are calling to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this religion of ours is the way for people to connect with their Lord. That's obvious. But if you just pause and reflect on that expression, call to the way of your Lord, this tells you a few things, right? That if you're calling to the way of your Lord, you're calling other people to the way of your Lord, where are you? Right? Where are you? Right? You are on that way, or striving to be on the way of your Lord. Right? You're striving to be on the way of your Lord. Why are you calling other people to the way of your Lord? For a few reasons. Because you consider this something that is precious, right? Something that is worth calling other people to, right? You see its value for yourself, and you see that other people deserve that benefit that you have yourself. And given that, you want to share the benefit that you found yourself. You feel that you have the truth. You feel you have guidance, you feel that you have good, and you want to share that yourself. But then this way is described as the way of your Lord. The call to the way of your Lord. If it is the way of your Lord, what is your attitude on that way yourself and in your calling? When you are on that way of your Lord and you're calling other people to the way of your Lord, what is your attitude in it? If He is your Lord, what are you? You're a slave. You are a servant. Right? You are a servant. You see that you are a servant of Allah. You're a slave. You're an abd. You're someone in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You're someone who's in need of Allah. And you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord. And this way that He has shown you is the way for you to fulfill your responsibility and purpose in life. And you call other people, why? Why do you call other people to the truth? Because you see that they too are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created them. What is their reality? Their reality is just like your reality. They're slaves. They're in a state of absolute need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you call them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you call them with a concern because you realize that they're in need of the good. And because they're in need of the good, you're seeking that good for them. Right? You see that your reality is that you're in need of your Lord. Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. O Lord, I am in absolute need of any good that you may send me. Right? That's your attitude, this prophetic attitude that, O Lord, I'm in absolute need of any good that you may send me. And you see this good is manifest in the way of the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of the religion of Islam. But that way of Islam is a means to what? It's the path to your Lord, of connecting to your Lord. And when you deal with other people, you discuss with other people, whether other Muslims whom you differ with, what are you trying to do? You're trying to call to the truth. But why? Not because you are God's policeman on earth. Not because you are somehow holier than anyone else. Not because you are somehow better than others, but rather because you're calling to the way of your Lord. You are His servant. You're the one in absolute need of Allah. And you see those around you are in desperate need of this guidance. So what is it that causes you to discuss with them, to call them to guidance, to call them to the good, or to discuss matters? It is not just, well, might as well do an interfaith debate. Right? Some people, you know, have these Muslim-Christian debates on campus, and they feel, and it's kind of out of fashion now. In the 90s, when I was on campus, it was a big rage. Right? I used to walk out of them. Like I just, it was too much, it's too stressful. Right? Because it seems so stupid, right? That why would you call people to our religion by putting them down? It made no sense. So it was just too stressful. On our campus, there's some people who are convinced about it. So I used to like go and stand outside and like tell people where the lecture hall was. And as soon as I could, just go grab a coffee. Right? Because when you discuss with people, you're trying to call them to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sense that they need this. So what is your look at the other person, your fellow Muslim when you differ with them and you're trying to address an issue, or a non-Muslim with whom you're dealing with a matter? The look is the look of concern. You seek the good for them. It's like the hadith that the brother quoted in the beginning. None of you believes until they love for others as they love for themselves. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you believes until they wish for others as they wish for themselves. That is the impulse of why we deal with issues. Right? That is the impulse of how we deal with issues. What is this summarized in? It is summarized in this hadith that the East Zone representative, I forget his name, he's like the permanent MC. I think MSA Nationals hired him as MC at large, right? He mentioned this hadith, right? That it is the merciful who are shown mercy by the All-Merciful. Be merciful to those on earth, and the Lord of the heavens will be merciful to you. When you disagree with someone and you discuss a matter, when you argue with someone even, what is the underlying impulse? It is sincere concern for that person. You wish well for them. You're seeking the pleasure of Allah and you want them to benefit. This is why it's very interesting. Imam Abu Hanifa, growing up, he wasn't a person of knowledge starting off. He wasn't a scholar. He was a trader. But he grew up around religious people and so on, and he used to hang around with scholars. So he used to debate atheists and people of, you know, the various sects that existed in Iraq. And then he became a scholar afterwards because someone said, you know, don't waste your time. But he used to debate a lot. But he used to be very strict with his children and with his students that you cannot debate. So his own son went to him and said, however he'd address him, dad, right? You tell us not to debate, but you used to. He said, there's a big difference. When we used to debate, we used to do so seeking guidance and good for the person we argued with. And we were trying to bring them to the truth. And that's what moved us. And that's why it was permitted for us to do so. As for you, when you argue with someone, you're trying to put them down. And if you try to put someone down in matters of guidance, then wishing misguidance for someone is misguidance. And wishing disbelief for someone could be disbelief. So stay away. Right? So stay away. So this is very important. This underlying concern is critical. Why? Because if you look at it legally, right, we have a legal principle in Islam that al-yaqinu la yazulu bishak, that certainty is not lifted by doubt. Right? Certainty is not lifted by doubt. In our relationships with others, what is our certainty? Our certainty is that we have to wish well for others. And we have to think well of others. And we have to try to get along with others. Right? That is our default assumption. It is our operational certainty. And anything that could endanger that good opinion of others, that sense of fraternity and good feeling, of concern and caring, anything that could vitiate that is to be left. Because certainty is not left for doubt. If you don't know why you're discussing a matter with someone and it could hurt your relationship, what does the Sunnah tell you to do? To leave that discussion, to leave that dispute, to leave that argument. Why? Because your brotherhood is more important. But then if you are going to pursue it, how do you pursue it? You pursue it in a manner that's not going to endanger that good relationship between you and them. That's not going to endanger your sense of care and concern for them. Because none of you believes until they wish for others as they wish for themselves. And as the scholars generally concur, Imam Qurtubi mentions it, Imam Nawawi mentions it, and many others, Suyuti and others mention it, none of you believes until they wish for their brother as they wish for themselves. The word brother here refers to the brotherhood of humanity. You don't believe until you seek the good for the believer and the disbeliever as you seek it for yourself. And if you're getting into a discussion with someone is going to hurt that, then leave it. Right? The Prophet ﷺ, in similar vein, defined all of religion in one term. All of religion was defined by the Prophet ﷺ in one term. What was that term? Can someone? He said, ad-deen, right? Ad-deen something. What is that term? Nasiha, right? Ad-deen an-nasiha. He said, ad-deenun nasiha. Religion is nasiha. What is nasiha? What is nasiha? Advice. I'll pick on you. Okay? The sister said it's advice. Okay? Now just think about it. The sahaba, the word nasiha, or in Urdu, nasihat, right? If you want to figure out what an Arabic word means and you're from the Indian subcontinent, just soften the pronunciation and add a ta at the end. So instead of nasiha, you say nasihat. And that's the word. You'll probably understand it, right? Nasiha, the Sahaba understood it to mean advice. But then they wondered. The Sahaba were very smart, right? How could all of religion, the religion, is advice? How could all of religion be advice? So the Sahaba asked a pertinent question. They said, قُلْنَا لِمَنْ? We asked to whom? So the Prophet ﷺ gave an answer that reframed their understanding completely. He said, لِلَّهِ, to Allah, وَلِكِتَابِهِ, and to His book, وَلِرَسُولِهِ, and to His messenger. So we asked the sister, that how can you advise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Can you advise Allah? Right? I mean, you could be an advisor to Obama, but not to God, right? How are you going to advise the book of Allah? Right? You say, O Quran, I advise you to be read by people? No. How can you advise the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nasiha, though it is used, right, the common usage of nasiha is to give advice, sincere counsel. But its root meaning is far deeper than that. The root meaning of nasiha comes from two senses in the Arabic language. One is to purify something, and the other is to perfect something, to bring something to its full potential. If you have honey that is got impurities in it, you say, نصحت العسل, I purified the honey. Right? If you have pieces of cloth that are lying around and you stitch them together, you did nasiha to the cloth. Because the little pieces of cloth, what are you going to do? Tie them around you? Right? But if they're stitched together into a garment, you've perfected the potential of that cloth. Right? So the sense of nasiha goes back to these two meanings, to purify something and to perfect something. Both of them relate to the idea of seeking good with respect to another. Seeking good with respect to something. Right? Seeking good with respect to another. They say, النصيحة طلب الخير في حق الغير. Seeking good with respect to another. And if you understand that, then you can understand how religion is nasiha. Religion is sincere concern. That is a correct translation, one of many, for ad-deen al-nasiha. Religion is sincere concern. For whom? For Allah. Right? Seeking good with respect to Allah. To His book. Seeking good with respect to the book of Allah. By fixing your relationship with respect to the book of Allah and calling other people to the book of Allah. Likewise to the Messenger of Allah. And to the leaders of the Muslims and their commonality. It also tells us that when you counsel someone, when you advise someone, or when you correct someone, or when you disagree with someone, what is the underlying impulse? It's not just to give advice for the sake of giving advice. Right? You have these, you know, the anti-police. I don't know if you guys have it. We have it in Toronto. They're really scary. Right? You go to family gatherings and the anti-police is there. And very often they sort of hound me and they want to test me. And my policy when family gatherings is, I don't talk religion. Right? Because when it comes to religious talk, less is more. The Prophet ﷺ used to hardly talk about Islam. It's shocking. Look at the hadiths. When did the Prophet ﷺ ever say anything that was longer than a paragraph? Hardly ever. He spoke very little, but his words were consequential. Very often the Sahaba would sit with the Prophet ﷺ and they'd just be sad. He wouldn't be saying anything, they wouldn't be saying anything. And if we just follow that with in our relationships, that when it comes to religion, less is more, talking about it, many of our family relationships would be much better. So aunties attack, right? And they say, this is wrong, that is wrong, this is wrong. It's like, you know, they're like the religious police. You can't eat with your left hand. You can't do this, you can't do that. And people get fed up. Right? People just get fed up. Why? And they consider this is nasiha. I'm correcting other people. I'm calling to the truth. But you're not. Because what is the impulse governing your calling to Allah? You're correcting someone. You're criticizing someone. You're disagreeing with someone. You're debating someone. It is nasiha. It is sincere concern for another. Seeking good with respect to another. It is wishing well for another. It relates directly to mercy. Because what is mercy? Right? Mercy, at a very operational level, is seeking good for another. Right? Mercy is concern that is felt in the heart that causes one to seek good for another and to do good with respect to another. That is what mercy is. It has two aspects. It is concern that is expressed in seeking good for another and doing good for another. And that is the basis of our relationships. It is this mercy. So when we disagree, this is the underlying foundation. And when that is going to be threatened, then the sunnah is not to argue. The Prophet ﷺ told us that no people went astray after Allah guided them, except that they became given to disputation. Why? Because disputation causes disunity. It's not disagreement that causes disunity. It is disputing. Because when you disagree and you just let each other be, it's not a problem. But when you insist on arguing and fighting about it, that is when things fall apart. So this is very important to keep in mind. That when you call, you're calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you discuss and debate, what is the underlying concern? It is seeking the pleasure of Allah. And then, what is your attitude towards the other person? You're seeking good for them. You're seeking good. Anytime in a discussion, it reaches a stage where you want to put them down, cease and desist. Right? You start getting upset at the person, the sunnah would be just to leave it. Even if you're right. The Prophet ﷺ told us about the tremendous reward of the one who leaves an argument, even though they were right. And the ulama say one of the situations when one would leave an argument is when you lose your sense of sincere concern for the other person. You're wishing well for them. Just leave the argument alone. Say, you know what? We could discuss this some other time. Change the subject. Right? Talk about the weather. Ask them about if they're your uncle, ask them about the Pakistani cricket team. Right? Even if you don't care. Right? With Indo-Pak uncles, if they're from India, ask them about the Indian cricket team. Right? Safe question. Even if you don't care, just change the subject and don't argue. Right? And that's why Imam Shafi's counsel was, never argue with a fool. He said, never argue with a fool. He said, I never argued with an intelligent person except that I defeated them. And I never argued with a fool except that I lost. Right? Except that I lost. And the ulama explained it in many ways. One of them is that when you argue with a fool, he sort of leave the argument. Because there's no point in it. So people would think, oh, so-and-so beat Imam Shafi. But Imam Shafi left it because he thought the person was a fool. Right? That's one of the several explanations of that. Then, the hadith says, the Quranic verse in Surah An-Nahl, verse 125, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. Bil-hikmah. What is wisdom? Wisdom has been defined in a variety of ways by the scholars, right? But wisdom ultimately is the ability to see things as they truly are and to respond in the way that will be most beneficial, right? It's to see things as they are. The wise person doesn't just see the obvious appearances, they see things as they really are. The wise person sees the full picture and they respond to things in the best way. Right? They respond to things in the best way. That's why one of the definitions of wisdom is that wisdom is the capacity to respond to each situation in the way that is best and most beneficial. Which is why the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ has been referred to in the Quran as being al-hikmah. Right? وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ. And he teaches them the book and the wisdom. What is the wisdom? The sunnah. Why? Because the sunnah shows us how to respond to each situation in the way that would be of greatest benefit. The wise person doesn't just jump into things. They see things as they really are. They don't just look at the obvious appearance. Okay, he said this. You have someone on your MSA, right? We had in our MSA, we had two people actually on our executive in my first year on the MSA who said, if any discussion, they say, well, it's useless. We need to focus on establishing the Khilafah. Everything. Should we start a Muslim student scholarship? Nope. Why? Because we have to start a Khilafah. Or whatever. You know, they had their own storyline, right? Now, how do you deal with the person, right? The initial response of most of us would be anger and frustration and sort of get out of here, right? Wisdom would cause one to have restraint and see, okay, how can I make the best of this situation? Right? How can I make the best of this situation? One of the keys of wisdom is circumspection, thinking things through. The Prophet ﷺ told us, "At-ta'anni la ya'ti illa bi khayr." That circumspection brings nothing but the good. Circumspection brings nothing but the good. Right? Thinking things through, not rushing into things. but considering what is the likely benefit, and then acting or speaking or responding. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also cautioned, وَالْعَجَلَةُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, and haste is from the devil. And haste is from the devil. Why? Haste is when you act without considering consequences. And this is integral to our disagreement, our differences, our dispute. Because the point isn't simply to make a point. Someone disagrees with you, they said something really absurd. Right? They say, the way I see it, we need a Pennsylvanian Islam. We need to forget about Islamic scholarship and have to read. It's like, that's absurd. And you want to respond. What's a Boston, what's a Massachusetts Islam? Or whatever, people come up with the weirdest theories. The way I see it, everyone in Islamic scholarship was wrong, but I figured it out, I have this theory. Sometimes the best answer is just not to respond. Say, oh, that's interesting. Want to grab a coffee? Right? Sometimes that's the best response, right? Just ignore it, right? Or just say, oh, interesting. Right? And don't say anything. Why? Because you consider consequences before you speak. Right? And then the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِظَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and good admonition. When you're going to call someone to the truth and you want to admonish them, the maw'idha, the words you choose should be good. And what is maw'idat al-hasana? The ulama say it's again the same idea. It's words that are likely to be of benefit. You consider the consequence before you speak. Don't just say something for the sake of saying. And when you're not sure, what do? You keep quiet. Right? You keep quiet. You avoid argument. And that's the sunnah. During the lifetime of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, major sects of Islam appeared. Major sects of Islam appeared. What did the Sahaba do about them? Most of them did absolutely nothing. They just let them be. And they were very careful of when they would go and dispute with them. And they went and they called them to the truth. They're very careful about when they went and who they'd send to argue with them. And what they would say to them. They're very, very careful. And it was exceedingly effective. They sent Ibn Abbas, for example. And in just one gathering, basically everyone he addressed came back to the mainstream of Islam. Why? Because you have to be very careful. Because if you argue with someone, you're going to turn them away. So you have to be very, very careful in these matters. Why? So you don't lose that human connection of concern. Because once you argue with someone, they'll take their stance. So we have to be very, very careful in that. And when we dispute, when we disagree, وَجَادِلْهُمْ, when you debate with someone, when you dispute with someone, when you're going to, because sometimes you have to deal with an issue. How do you do it? بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, in the way that is best, most excellent, most virtuous. And what is that way? That is the way of the Prophet ﷺ. In order to engage with people and express one's disagreement, to differ with people, the Quranic command is that we have to make sure we do it بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, in the way that is best. How do we know the way that is best? We have to look at the example of the Prophet ﷺ. Throughout his life, he was opposed. He presented the truth to people. People differed with him. People argued with him. People abused him. People insulted him at his face. But you will not find once that the Prophet ﷺ responded with anything but the most beautiful and virtuous conduct. And we have to be familiar with that example. And this, there's a divine promise related to that right response. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, respond, you know, react in the way that is best, most excellent, most beautiful. What's going to happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, and you'll find unexpectedly that the person between whom and you was enmity will become as though a dear friend. Right? Respond in the way that is best. And you find that the person between whom and you was enmity will become as though a dear friend. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, as though a dear friend? Because some people, if you respond to them with excellence, they'll become your friends. They'll leave the dispute between you and them, and they'll become your friends. Other people will not be able to overcome their prejudice, their dislike, but if you respond to them with excellence and you continue to respond to them with excellence, they will give you your rights as though they were friends, even though they're not your friend. It's an amazing expression. Will become as though a dear friend. Is it easy though? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا يُلَقَّهَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. None will find it except those who are patient. Right? Who remain steadfastly patient. You have to have restraint. You have to shut up. Right? Sometimes, you know, you want to say something. You know, a sister started wearing hijab. Her mom wants to argue with her. Right? Says, Beti, that looks like the tablecloth on your head. How can you go to school wearing a tablecloth? Now what do? Right? You could explain to her many things. She's not going to listen. If you do, if you respond, she's going to respond back. And then your dad's going to come in and give you his explanation why hijab was actually just an Arab custom. And then someone else, then your brother is going to say that you guys are all backward anyways. And becomes a big ugly family situation. What do you do? Nothing. Just be patient. Give a smile, give a hug, and say, you know, make dua for me, right? And go to school, right? Eventually, they'll give up, right? Respond in the way that is best. And the same thing when we disagree with people. Consider what is most likely to be a benefit. That is what's wisdom. Call to the way of your Lord with wisdom. Wisdom is looking at the bigger picture. What's likely to be a benefit? And that's how we should deal with our differences. The point is not to make a point. The point is to call to the way of Allah, is to spread benefit, is to seek good for other people, and to bring them to the truth. So this is what we'll close with, right? That in order to deal with our differences, both within our community, within our organizations, right, we firstly have to be clear of what we're trying to do. We're trying to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in our relationships, what is the basis of those relationships? It is mercy. It is rahmah. It is nasiha. It is seeking good for another. Why? Because you are calling to the way of your Lord. You see that you are needy and other people are in desperate need of the good that you find yourself connected to. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those who call to His way with concern, who seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are people who uphold the prophetic mercy, who look at people with the prophetic look of mercy, of love, who seek good for other people. And when we act and when we respond, we are not hasty, but rather we're people of wisdom who consider consequence. And when we deal with people, and particularly when we respond, when we disagree, when we differ, that we do it بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَن, in the way that is best. And that is the way of excellence of character. And it is not easy. It's a test of your faith. The Prophet ﷺ told us, what is the perfection of faith? What is the sign of the highest of faith? He told us, أَكْبَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا, right, the believers most perfect in faith. Who are they? أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا, are those best in character. When is your character tested? Right? A lot of my friends, you know, they have this hypothesis of when you want to marry someone, they have this, you know, the serving tea theory. You want to go to, you heard that someone should, you should marry them. So they have this old style, you know, the girl goes, serves the tea. So if she's smiling nicely, she's worth marrying. If the guy, you know, says thank you in a nice way, he's worth marrying, right? That's not the test of character, right? It's not. And you could probably, but people think of good character just being the ability to smile when things are good. Good character, the prophetic character, is manifest in adversity, in disagreement, in dispute. That is where it's seen that you have good character. And what is at the root of good character? It is faith. It is a commitment to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So you have to be very careful, because your falling into dispute and argumentation with other people is a sign of lack of faith. When you argue with people, you fight with people, you put down people, it's from a lack of faith. It's from a lack of faith, because you're not acting in the ways that are pleasing to your Lord. You don't have the concern for others that your Lord has commanded. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of sincere concern, because that is religion itself. And that is the way to deal with differences and disagreements. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.